Can you hear me? Is this on? These things scare me to death. And I'll tell you why in just a second. But first, I've got to say thank you so much for that wonderful singing. I get the opportunity to speak in a lot of churches, and it's very seldom I hear that kind of singing, especially from singing with such a great attitude and from the heart. You know, I knew the first song you sung, Victory in Jesus, and everybody up here was smiling and singing Victory in Jesus, and I could see your heart smiling. You know, I don't know how anybody can sing Victory in Jesus and not have a big smile on their face. Amen. Really. You know, I love to sing, but I'm not very good at it. I'll be honest with you, I'm not. I sound kind of like pouring gravel in an old galvanized bucket or something. I mean, that's about how pleasant I am to listen to. But I love to sing. And when I sing those old hymns, I love to sing with gusto because I love the Lord and I love to worship the Lord. A while back, a few years ago, I was asked to speak in a church up out of West Jefferson. And we met at a central location. I live down in the southwest corner of Catawba County. It took me about an hour and 10 or 15 minutes to get up here. But I was going on up to West Jefferson that day, and we met at a central location and prayed, and they gave me a little packet with my directions in it to go out there to that church. And I don't know how old the directions were. I don't know if the road name had changed or what. But anyway, I got out there in the countryside, and I got lost. I couldn't find my church, and I don't know if the road name had been the sign had been misplaced or taken down or something. I don't know what happened. But anyway, I was driving around out there in the countryside. I finally saw a guy out there mowing his grass, and I asked him, and he got me headed in the right direction. I finally got to the church, but it was about 15 or 20 minutes after 11. And I guess they thought the Gideon speaker wasn't coming. So when I pulled up, there was a guy outside waving me in, said, come up, just park right up here at the front. And so I jumped. He said, are you the Gideon speaker? I said, yes, sir. He said, I jumped out of the car, and he had a lapel microphone. Brother put a lapel microphone on me. That's what I tell you. I was a little afraid of these things. Anyway, I got out of the car, and he was putting this lapel mic as I was coming down the aisle, and it had a piece of duct tape on the on-off switch, and the light was on like it was on. And I said, he said, no, don't mess with that thing. He said, if you try to mess with it, it'll short out, and I can't get you back turned back on. He said, I'll control you. Don't worry about that. He said, I'll control you. So he brought me down, set me on the front pew, and the little church was packed, and there was some rather large men on both sides of me, and they were singing very loud, and I like to sing loud. And I thought, well, you know, I couldn't even hear myself. But I didn't have, I was sitting on the front pew, and I didn't have a hymnal or a songbook. And I knew those songs, but, you know, you get down in that fourth and fifth verse, I knew the chorus, but I didn't remember the words to all those fourth and fifth verses. And I didn't want to quit singing, so I just kind of made up the words. I couldn't even hear myself. I thought everything would be fine. So after we sung a few songs, I got up in the pulpit to give my message. And I gave my message, and after my message was over, I went to the back to shake everybody's hands. And one of the first people that came out the door was an elderly lady on a cane. She came up to me on that cane, and she said, Sonny, I don't remember nothing you said, but you sure can sing. I said, ma'am, I'm surprised you could even hear me. She said, oh, yeah, when you got up there, she said, I began to hear you come out of the ceiling. And then she looked at me and she said something very profound. She said, but you know what? I believe you had a different songbook than I had. So I'm real careful with that. You know, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I like to see people happy in church. You know, we're on our way to heaven. You know, I can't understand how people can be a Christian, a Bible-believing, blood-washed Christian, and not be happy. Amen. Not be happy. People ought to see something in us that they won't. And do you know what that is? It's Jesus. Amen. It's Amen. Jesus. You know, I told the pastor, my Gideon message may not be a typical Gideon message. I research and study and pray a lot, and sometimes I get up here and God just leads me in a little different direction, so I just run with it. I was probably a year and a half ago or something, I was asked to speak at Lewis Fork. I think that's on down 421 from here. And when I was sitting in the pew right before the preacher asked me to come up, the Lord impressed on my heart to read a certain scripture. And the Bible I use is an old Hotel Gideon Bible, and the print's kind of small in it on the older ones. And I have to have reading glasses to see it. And I forgot my reading glasses that day. And I said a quick prayer. I said, God, if you want me to read that scripture, I got to be able to see it. And And I thought going up to the pulpit, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just open my Bible up and lay it down and I'll say a few words. And if God wants me to read that, when it gets time to read it, I'll look down and if I can see it, I'll read it. But if I can't see it, I'll have to just go a different direction. And I was saying something similar to maybe what I'm saying now. And I got ready to read my scripture and I looked down and man, it looked like giant print. Needless to say, we had a good service that day because the Holy Spirit was amongst us. It was here, Lord. I want to thank you so much for that beautiful preacher. You got an easy job with all that singing. Wonderful, beautiful singing, heartfelt singing. If you would, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 55. We're going to start at verse 6, and we're going to read through verse 11. Isaiah 55, we're going to start at verse 6. I'll give you just a moment or two to get to that. Isaiah 55, starting with verse 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for my safe trip up here. Lord, I thank you for these wonderful people, this wonderful singing. Lord, I pray that you just give me the words to say and help me to speak them with boldness and conviction, Lord. I pray that you are honored today and lifted up. And if there's anyone in this house today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, let today be their day of salvation. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Gideon Ministry is a Christian organization of business and professional men whose sole purpose is to win men, women, boys, and girls to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We do that through two methods. We do that through witnessing to other people and what you're more familiar with, the distribution of Bibles. Currently, we distribute Bibles in 200 countries and print Bibles in 101 different languages. And I could get up here and give you, I think last year we gave out about 85 million Bibles. We're headed to a very large number again. I can stand up here and tell you all these statistics, but you won't remember all those statistics. What really matters are these Bibles doing any good? Is the Word of God making a difference in people's lives? I can tell you it's having a dramatic impact all around the world. The Word of God is alive and powerful and changes people's lives. We had a Gideon distribution some time ago at a community college. And what we do is we'll go in and maybe we'll set up a Gideon at certain locations where the students are coming out of classes and going into classes. And depending on how big the campus is, there may be a half a dozen Gideons there. And we'll stay for like 2 hours at a time, and another Gideon will come and replace. And so this Gideon was there giving out Bibles. And these students were coming by, and they were kind of in a rush, you know, moving from one class to another. And they were just kind of lined up, and this Gideon was giving these Bibles out as fast as he could as they come by. And everybody was taking one. But there was one gentleman that didn't want the Bible. The Gideon could tell he just had a bitter attitude or something. But he took the Bible because he just kind of jerked it out of his hand. He didn't want the people to see that he didn't take it. So he took the Bible. And as he stepped out, the Gideon was there toward the entrance door. And as they were exiting out the door, this guy looked back at the Gideon, had that little Bible. And he said, I ain't going to read this, and ain't nobody else going to read this book. And he took it, and he threw it as hard as he could up on the roof. Don't want nobody to get the Bible. Well, you know, it kind of broke the Gideon's heart that somebody would treat God's Word like that, and him out there trying to, you know, help save the lost. And so God has a way of answering prayers, though. And another Gideon came by to replace him, and he told the Gideon that came about what had happened, and they prayed real quick, you know, that God would use that in some way. Well, this Gideon that was leaving, he got ready to leave, and he was going out the door. And this building was kind of unique. It was built inside of a kind of a hillside. And the front of the building was one story, but the back of the building, because it was sloped, was like 3 stories high. And there was people up on the roof in the building and didn't know that. And this Gideon came out to leave, and this guy come running around the corner of the building, big tears running down his eyes, had tar-looking stuff all over him, just filthy, and he was just all out of sorts. And he come running up through there carrying this little Bible, and he said, "Who? Where'd this come from? Who sent this? What happened?" And it was a Bible just kind of like this one right here. And he had this thing in his hand, and he said, "I got to tell you." And the Gideon told him that they'd just give out these Bibles. He said, "Man, I was getting ready to commit suicide. I was getting ready to jump off the back of the building. And I had prayed, 'God, if you can hear me and you don't want me to do this, give me a sign.'" And he said, when I prayed, that thing hit me in the back." God can put his Bible where he wants it. Sometimes men mean it for evil, but God means it for good. God means it for good. You know, one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. God gives the increase. There was an illegal drug lab in Colombia. And when I say illegal drug lab, they produced cocaine and some other things. But it was all illegal drugs, and most of that stuff was shipped in the United States. There was 40 men that worked in this camp, and any kind of evil you can think of went on there. I mean, just nothing was too bad to go on amongst these men at this camp. Once a week, they'd send a man into town to get supplies. And the man had went this week into town to get supplies, and there was a local Gideon there giving out Bibles. He saw this man coming into the store, hardware store there to get some stuff, and he wanted to give him a Bible. And there was quite a few people around. And the guy, he didn't want the Bible, but he didn't want to bring any attention to himself. So he just took the Bible and stuck it in his pocket. And he went ahead and got his supplies. And he went back in. This was deep in the jungles of Colombia. He got back to the drug camp and unloaded all his supplies, took that little Bible out, and laid it on the table. Within a couple of weeks, that little Bible became so popular that they had to roll dice to see who would get that little Bible for 30 minutes at a time. Now, I'm here today to tell you that all 40 of those men came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That drug camp no longer exists. 12 of those men are now pastors in little small churches scattered through the jungle of Colombia, all because of one little Bible that somebody didn't even want to start with. You can't get away from the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful. We had a Bible distribution in Malawi some time ago. And when you go into those areas, what we do is we send Gideons in that sign up from all over the world that want to come in and help distribute Bibles. And they'll stay there maybe 10 days. And they may ship in 100,000 or more Bibles and distribute those into schools and prisons and hospitals, every walk of life they can get into. But they try to get into all the schools to the young people. And so many times we hear pastors say that a child got a little Bible in school and they brought it home, and that's the only book that family had. And everybody in the household gets saved because of it. So it's really important to try to get into the schools. Well, there was one school that was way off the beaten path, and it was going to take all day just because there was no really a good road to there to drive, and they were going to have to either pack the Bibles on motorbikes or pack animals or something to get. And it was a large school, way out in a rural area. And the Gideon said, we just can't, we're not going to be here that long. We can't take a whole day just to go out there. But the superintendent of the school system said, well, I hate for those kids not to get an opportunity to maybe get a Bible. Maybe the only time in their whole life they ever get an opportunity to get a Bible. He said, let me call the headmaster at that school, and if you'll give me the day after tomorrow, if y'all come down to the central office and set up your table about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and just give them till 9 o'clock, he said, I'll call that headmaster, and if those children want a Bible, they can come here and get it. And then if they're not here by 9 or 9:15, y'all can go on about your business the rest of the day distributing Bibles. So they got there that morning, set up their table, put their Bibles out. And the Gideon I talked to said there was about 8 o'clock, nobody showed up. And they was really worried that maybe nobody was coming. And 8:15, 8:30, nobody showed up. Well, I said a little bit before 9, they begin to hear a racket coming over the hill. And these little children came pouring in. The oldest were 12 years old. They were 12 years old or younger. The oldest were 12 years old. And by about 9:30, they'd given out, I think, 915 or 16 little Bibles. Now, he said they were very mannerly, and they would get in single-file line, and they would come through getting their Bible, and each one of them had a little piece of plastic that had some kind of food in it. He didn't recognize what it was, but each one was taking it out, and they were eating it as they were standing in line. And then when they got up to the where they got their Bible, they had another little piece of plastic, and they'd stick that Bible in it. And he said each one of them would take it and shake that Bible down, and they'd wrap it up real tight and
package. He said they just treated it like a treasure. He said he'd never seen kids act that way. And he said they was real meticulously wrapping it up and they placed it on the inside of their clothes. He said it was amazing to watch them how they handled that little Bible. And he began to ask why they did that. Well, by the time they had left that morning, they had crossed some streams and come across some rugged terrain. They had walked 43 miles to get that little Bible. And they wanted to make sure that nothing happened to it on the way back. You know, that made me think about how do I treat the Word of God?
Yeah.
Do I treat it like a treasure, or I just treat it like it's any other old book? That's what's happened in our society. Because how we treat the Bible, the Word of God, is a lot of times how we treat God. You know, I read a statistic from Pew Research Poll, and this was done to evangelical Christians. That was the title of it. But anyway, they interviewed about 30-some thousand evangelical Christians, people that considered themselves evangelical Christians. And out of that 30-some thousand, 57%, a little bit over 57%, said there were multiple paths to God. I'm here today to tell you there is only one path to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man, no woman, no child comes to God except by me. Except by me. You know, we live in a culture today that everything is relative. There's no absolutes. They think that, you know, whatever they want it to be, that's what it is, you know. We see that when people can't even figure out what bathroom they're supposed to go in. That's about the stupidest thing I ever heard. But I'll be careful. But the truth's the truth. You know, the truth is truth. You know, there's relativism and there's absolutism. You know, relativism, and I'll try to sum this up as quick as I can. Relativism means everything's right sometimes, but nothing is right all the time. It's situational ethics. I'll base my decision on whatever my situation is. Nothing's right all the time. The Bible is absolute truth. The Bible is right all the time. Regardless of my situation, regardless of my circumstances, the Bible don't change. God's Word is truth. Jesus said to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free. There's a lot of people right here in America that consider themselves Christians that are living in bondage because they don't know the truth of God's Word. You know why they don't know the truth? Because they don't read the truth. They don't read the Word. The Word of God has to become part of my life. What does it say? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in everything that you do in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. He will make a path where there is no path. He will. He will. I believe what the Bible says. Preacher, I don't want to go over too long, but I can feel the Holy Spirit really moving. You know, I believe in the power of prayer. When I got here, I was fine. When I stood back there a little bit, we could just feel the Holy Spirit moving in this church. And all of a sudden, I got hoarse and nose running and everything. And I could blame it on allergies, but I know who it is. It was Satan trying to shut me down. I asked my brother, I said, you pray for me before I get up there and while I'm there. And you know, it's went away. It's went away. I believe in the power of prayer. We need you as in our Gideon ministry to pray that the doors that are open now remain open and that more doors open up because some of those doors are shutting up real quick. Across America, we can't get in a lot of schools. I live in Catawba County. We can't get on school grounds to give out a Bible. You know, something wrong with that when you're in the Bible Belt of the South and you can't get in to give a child a Bible. You know, I've read some statistics about that and they say, well, you know, we're afraid for them to have a Bible because, you know, it might affect their life. I hope so.
Amen.
That's what it's for.
Amen.
That's what it's for.
Amen.
You know, I got to tell you this real quick because it lifts me up every time I tell it. I get to speak a whole lot for the Gideons. I got a friend in my church that he's a Gideon. And sometimes if we are speaking at a rally day somewhere, we'll ride together. And what happens is we'll go to, if they're speaking in a bunch of churches that day, we'll go to a central location and pray. And whoever drove that day will drive himself to his church and pray, and then they'll have a Gideon drop off, you know, a bunch of Gideons at different churches
to speak, and they'll come back by and pick them up, and then we'll meet back at a central location. Well, we had rode that day out to Far City. We had spoke out there in Rutherford County in the Far City area, and I drove that day, and David was riding with me, and we went to our place and prayed, and we got our assignment, and I went to my church, and he rode with the Gideon in a van and dropped him off at his church. Well, he gave his Gideon message, and he was, after the service was over, there was a deacon waiting at his church, and he was waiting for his ride to come back by. And while he was waiting on his ride to come back by, he was standing out in the front of the church there, and they had a plaque of every former pastor that was in that church. It has a picture and a few words about his ministry while he was there. And David said he was just standing there reading some of those things, and he said they were really, really interesting because it kind of addressed the highlights of that minister during his time there. He said, man, it was really, and the deacon saw what he was doing. He said, man, before your ride comes, you've got to come over here and read about this pastor we had about the turn of the century. It's phenomenal how God moved. David didn't know what he was, you know, until he got over there, got to reading it. And here's how the story goes. It was around the turn of the century, 1899 or something like that. And this preacher was at the church, and he had came down with a fever. He was running a high fever. And there was a country doctor that came by every day in a horse and buggy to check on the preacher. And every day his fever, it kept going up, and they didn't know what to do to get it down. So finally the doctor came by that day, and his fever had risen to a high limit. And in fact, so high that the doctor told the preacher, said, preacher, we've got to do something about your fever. He said, if your fever rises as much tomorrow as it did today, said, you'll be dead before I get back by here. Well, he said, the preacher said, well, what do we need to do? And the doctor said, well, the only thing I know to do is pack you in ice. That would be the simplest thing and try to get your fever down. But they didn't have any ice there handy. The closest ice was in Asheville, North Carolina at the time, and the only way to get there was horse and buggy. And the doctor said, listen, you'll be dead before they get up to Asheville and back with ice. The preacher said, doc, do you not have any faith? He said, roll me out of this bed and get me down on my knees where I can call out to God. And he rolled the preacher out of the bed. Doctor thought it was crazy. Rolled the preacher out of the bed, got him down on his knees, and that preacher began to cry out to God. All those people at that church testified that in about an hour, within an hour, these black clouds started rolling in, and it started hailing. They went out in the churchyard and picked up buckets of ice, packed the preacher in ice, and his fever broke, and he preached at that church 20 more years. Friend, that is the power of prayer. That's the power of prayer. I think we miss so much because we don't call on God. We don't call on God. God said, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. You will find me. And then when you call on me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. We miss a lot because we don't call on God. You know, I want to encourage you to read your Bible and to pray. Make it a part of you. We have so many. We live in a technology culture where cell phones is taking, you know, the place in most of our time. If it's not, you know, something on the internet or something on cable TV or satellite TV or something, anything, Satan uses all this stuff. And some of this stuff is not bad in itself. It just eats up all our time. It eats up all our time. You know, we need to read and study our Bible and apply it to our lives. I'm going to skip over some of this stuff. I'm just excited about being here and to tell you about how important it is to give somebody a Bible. You know, the Word of God is alive and powerful, and there's tremendously, it makes a difference. And there was a young man, him and his friend, they were teenagers, and they were searching for spiritual truth. And they had looked at these different religions and couldn't make heads nor tails out of none of it. And they felt kind of depressed, and so much so, this one young man committed suicide. And the young man that was left got very distraught, and he kept searching for spiritual truth and didn't seem to find anything, and eventually he tried to take his life. But he was not successful at it. And he wound up in the hospital. He woke up in the hospital recovering, and the Gideons had placed a Bible there in the hospital room, and a friend of his got the Bible out, and they began to read, and he read, and he read. And he got down and he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. That man is Ravi Zacharias. Ravi Zacharias, if you've ever heard of him, he's on like 2,000 outlets worldwide. having a tremendous impact on a lot of people for Jesus Christ because of one Bible. One Bible. You know, sometimes men mean it for evil, but God means it for good. God means it for good. We live in a culture where I was talking earlier about how much y'all smiled, and I could see your heart was smiling because you could feel it. You could feel it, and you should be able to do that as a Christian. You know, it doesn't matter how bleak and dark things get here. There's a better day coming. I mean, one we can't even explain. They don't talk much about in the Bible because we wouldn't be able to comprehend it. We wouldn't. We couldn't understand it. But I didn't really come to talk about myself, but I seen on your bulletin you have a lot of people you're praying for. I believe in the power of prayer. I've seen a lot of people down and out in hospitals, and you can see people get bad news at a doctor, and you can just see the blood drain right out of their face sometimes. Yeah. They think the end is in sight, you know. I'm here today to tell you that, you know, I believe in good doctors, but there's something I want you to pay attention to. The doctor ain't got the last say.
Amen.
God has. God has. I'm going to do something here because I promised God that I'd give him the glory. And you got to pay attention here real close. I know this is going to be a little bit different, but you pay attention real close. I'm going to get down right here. Now, I thought you thought you was going to count a bunch of push-ups, didn't you? But honestly, that was real impressive. December the 19th, I was at Baptist Hospital and had triple bypass surgery. All this was opened up, and that was for the second time. And they said they don't want you to lift over 10 pounds for about 3 months. I had a wonderful doctor, and he knew that I was concerned, and I wanted to know where his heart was at. And he looked at me and he said, "Kurt, I rest assured that I can tell you that I can put you back together perfectly. But my job stops right there. Only God can heal you.
Amen.
Only God can heal you."
Amen.
You remember in the Bible there was 10 lepers got healed. But there was only one that came back to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Says in the Bible, to let the redeemed say so.
Amen.
My Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer liveth. Before you want to give the Bible to somebody else, you've got to be excited about it yourself.
Yes,
you do. Yes. You do. Yes. I need to be excited about it myself. I don't run over long, but, you know, we're running out of time. We are. The next major event on God's calendar is rapture. Rapture. Could happen any time. Could happen any time. You know, Billy Graham, when he was still speaking, a lot of times when he would give a message about the second coming of Christ, he'd tell a story about this family that had a grandfather clock. And this grandfather clock was set up, like a lot of people had them at that time, it was set up to where it would chime at the top of the hour. So if you wasn't in front of the clock and could see it, when you heard it start to chime, if you would just count the chimes, you'd know what time it was. At 1 o'clock, it would chime one time. At 2 o'clock, two times. 3 o'clock, three times. All the way to 12, and then it started over. Well, one night, the clock malfunctioned. And there was a little boy that had a young son that lived there in the house. And they had a large family, and he was the youngest one. And he was wide awake that night, and he couldn't sleep. And it was the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, the clock struck 12 o'clock midnight, and it began to chime. And he was just laying there in the bed counting the chimes. And all of a sudden, it chimed 13 times. The little boy jumps up out of the bed, and he said, "Wake up, wake up, everybody wake up. It's later than it's ever been." It's later than it's ever been. On God's timetable, it's later than it's ever been. Jesus said, in a time you think not, it's going to be sudden, it's going to be swift, and it's going to be unexpected. It's going to be unexpected. So we need to stay in a prepared position. We had a Gideon distribution on the Ivory Coast of Africa some time ago. And they'd sent in about a dozen Gideons, and they'd already given out a little over 100,000 Bibles in all these different areas. And they had finished up, well, they... That was their last day. But that morning, They had ran these two Gideons, they divided them up in two and they went to different places. And these two Gideons had given out all their Bibles. They had ran out of Bibles. In fact, they ran out at this school, and they went to two more schools after that, but they didn't have any Bibles. They had checked all their boxes and they didn't have any Bibles. But they still went and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And so they were finished up and they were trying to find their way back to their motel. And the Gideon I spoke to said that some of the roads over there are hard to, some of them are not, they don't have road names. And some of it's just, if you don't live there, it's kind of hard to find your way, because it might be a road that just turns down beside of an oak tree over there and everybody just knows to go that way, whatever. But anyway, they had got lost and they were trying to find their motel to get out of their rural countryside. And they went by this same little road three times. And they said, well, maybe we can drive down here and somebody will be there and they can give us some directions. Well, they drove down to this little building. It was a dilapidated, kind of a block building, dilapidated, no windows and stuff. And it was just dilapidated looking, but it looked like maybe there was people there. So they knocked on the door, and this woman came to the door. And when she saw the two men, she knew they were the men that gave out the little Bibles. And she just got so excited, just all out of sorts. She said, thank you, Jesus. God has answered our prayer. We've been praying for 3 years that y'all would come see us. Before the Gideon had a chance to say anything, she said, aren't you the men that give out the little Bibles? And he said, yes, ma'am, we're Gideons. We're lost. We're trying to find way back to our motel room. She said, no, you're not lost. God sent you here. She said, we've been praying for you. She said, we've been praying for Bibles for 3 years that you'd bring us. He said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but we don't have any more Bibles. We're out. We don't have any more. We ran out early this morning, and we don't have any more. She said, oh, don't say that. She said, well, come on in and speak to my children. And this was a little orphanage, but this was a different kind of orphanage. This was an orphanage for children that were orphans that had leprosy. And the Gideon said it was a pitiful situation. And they went in and tried to get up and help, tell about Jesus and tell what the Bible was about. And while he was doing that, the woman was pulling on the other Gideon and said, listen, let's go back out to the van. I know you've got Bibles. There's bound to be some Bibles in there. And he said, no, ma'am, we've checked there. And the other Gideon said, listen, let's just go out there so she can see that we don't have any Bibles. She's not going to be happy till we do. They went out to the van, and it was just a bunch of empty boxes. Right here's one, as a matter of fact. Right here's an empty box that Bibles come in and holds 100 Bibles, these little Testaments. And he went through pulling every box out, nothing, throwing them back. And he reached up, way up on the seat, back of the driver, and when he tugged on that box, he thought, that box has got something in it. He pulled it out there and opened it up and had 28 Bibles in it. Do you know how many people, how many children were in that orphanage? 28. He said, as far as he knew, God must have printed those Bibles while they were in there talking. Because he had pulled on that box and there wasn't any Bibles. But anyway, they brought them in. They're so excited. They brought them in, laid the Bibles down, and asked anybody who wanted a Bible, raise their hand, and come on down and get a Bible. So, they all very carefully come down and mannerly and got their Bible, but there's one child sitting way back in the back, had a hand up in the air, but never got up to come and get the Bible. So this Gideon, he just picks up a Bible, and he starts down through there with this Bible to give. He thought, well, if that child's not going to come here, I'll just go back here and give. Well, he got back there. The closer he got, he realized that hand was up in the air. It was only a nub. All the fingers had been eaten off by leprosy. And when he got back there, he realized it was a young girl, and he realized why she didn't come up there. The leprosy had damaged her eyes, and her eyes were all messed up, but she had big old tears running down both cheeks. And he said it changed his life that day, because he went back there and talked to the little girl, and she was so happy that he was there, and she wanted a copy of the Bible. She couldn't read it, but maybe she could have somebody else read it to her. And he asked her if she'd like to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior, and she got out in the little aisle there and got down on her knees and gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. And that Gideon said that was the whole reason he went on that trip, I guess. For that one thing. He said it changed his perspective from that day on. He said because he knew that this little girl, barring some kind of miracle from God, her life would not be much here on earth. Physically, she was in really bad shape, dependent on everybody else. She had leprosy. She was an orphan. She just didn't have much here. But he said he knew that one day this little girl would have a glorified body. A glorified body. I don't know who gave that money for that little girl to have that Bible. Could have been somebody in this church. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm just telling you how important it is to get one of those little Bibles. They're $1.35 each. One of these boxes holds 100, and they're $135. There's probably, you've been thinking about maybe how you could give to the Gideons and what you could give, maybe $5 or $10. There's probably people sitting in here that could write a check for $135 for a whole case of Bibles. I don't know. And never miss it. Never miss it. God promised that when His Word goes out, it will not return void. It will prosper. It will prosper. And Jesus said in Luke 6:38, this is a Jesus word, not mine. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men pour into your bosom. For with the same, at King James Version, for the same measure you meet, it will be meted back to you. Meted back to you. Let me tell you, I believe what the Bible says. I'm not one of those people that says you give $100, you're going to get back $100 or $1,000, whatever. You know why? Because God don't put the importance on money like we do. I mean, you can't put a dollar amount on being healthy or being able to sleep good when you lay down or have good relationships. There's so many ways God wants to bless you other than just giving you money. Now, He might give you money. I'm not saying He won't. But God wants to bless you. Bless you. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who shall produce fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. Everybody stops there, but that's not the end of that. It says, but the ungodly are not so. They'll be like the chaff that's driven away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Shall perish. If you don't know Jesus today, you're going to miss it all. You know, I don't know of any other way to say it. Paul said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he asked three important questions. How can they call on him of whom they have not believed? How can they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? If you read down to verse 17, I think it is, it gives the answer. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. By the Word of God. That's what you're going to give people. You can live on minimum food, minimum clothing, minimum shelter, but the one thing you cannot live without is hope. When you take somebody's hope away, you can see the end in sight. When you give somebody the Word of God, you give people hope. Hope. You can't put a price tag. Thank you so much, preacher. I'm going to let you go.